This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, so Juice, talking to you, just so you know, yeah, you'll get your shot at some point. Just really don't want you in my room right now where I could possibly throw some of my nice things at you. So calm down and we'll talk.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is this still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
I don't believe in your white Jesus and last suppers. I place value on brothers who never had justice. I am the black savage, Ollie informing his eye fighting for black magic. Rifles and flak jackets, mama was suicidal. Papa had bad habits, product of true survival. Rocker like Black Sabbath, hopping about the Chevy. Pac, Biggie, Machiavelli, OG like Nas and Reggie. Culture like Oxenbelly, Vogel like Akinelli. Focus like Dr. Sebi, we did it your way. But now the culture is bopping to our Sinatra medley. I'm limitless.
Oh man, alright, so welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. I have with me a friend of the show, a brother in arms, my man, Ross the Boss. Is it 69 or 52? I forget.
It's 50, actually.
50, all right.
You're in the neighborhood.
I don't know why I just ran to 69. Like, my mind.
I mean, I like to do 69 in my spare time, but never wore 69. So
another show. Another show.
That's the midnight show.
I didn't pick that clip just to do like something extremely black. Like there's a point to that that song playing, and we'll get to that. But okay. I don't want you to feel like, oh, he gonna put on the like, I don't respect your white Jesus thing. It's like as soon as you come in, that wasn't.
No,
that wasn't what I was.
I was too busy trying to snap and put it out there that we were doing a podcast. So trying to get the brand out there, man. You're good.
But yeah, wanted to have you on the show because. Ladies, unfortunately, sports is coming back. So
hopefully,
your boyfriend's gonna have a new reason to ignore you. It won't just be PlayStation. It'll be, I'm gonna get in trouble for that, but I love you, ladies. Anyway, yeah, sports is coming back, and sports is coming back in the climate that we're in right now.
Yep.
So I figured I'd have my good friend Ross the Boss on the show because he's a sports fanatic. The whole time we were roommates, like, you're pretty even-keeled, dude.
Yeah, most days.
And yeah, but I saw, like, the most personality come out of you, like, in the middle of sporting events.
Man, you know.
Especially that World Series.
That World Series. By the way, congrats. Have you seen the Nationals World Series ring?
I have not.
I even happened to take a look at it. It's a nice ring. It's a nice-looking ring. So
I forgot to hit us with a couple of these.
Fuck! Right. I was going to ask you if you'd use those at all. So
yeah, I use them sparingly. They got to be okay. Special occasions, like you know, you got to earn.
Fuck!
You got to earn that. You know.
Yeah, those are selective for sure.
My first real sound clip, thanks to Ross.
I was going to say pepper those in there every once in a while.
Every once in a while,
yeah.
We'll get to a good spot.
Yeah, for sure. I'll set you up.
So, before we get into all the sports stuff, just you know, how's everything with you, bro?
Doing all right. You know, I posted on social media today that. Today marks 14 months of sobriety, which I'm grateful for.
Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate that. You know, obviously living with people like you, you know, and keeping in touch with guys like yourself and, you know, the current roommates that we have at the house definitely help. You know, obviously other friends and family have been very supportive. And to be honest, with this COVID stuff going on, I didn't really notice how much time has gone by.
Yeah.
With sobriety, like
the hair.
I was gonna say, man, pick it. I want to see an afro next time I come back over here,
man. All right, so let's get into
let's
dive into the sports conversation. So NFL is looking
not only sports. Let's talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I want to talk about.
Yeah, you may have to fill me in because I try not to watch the news. I've been watching the news a lot more recently, obviously, with everything going on. But yeah,
it's depressing.
It's depressing.
Yeah, I'm on social media more now than ever because it's not much to do. And I'm like, this podcast like forces me. I'm not a social media kind of person. Yeah. I think you know that. Like I'm pretty quiet to myself. Like, but, I have to do it for this. And it's just, it is fucking depressing.
Like, it's very toxic out there, in my opinion.
It's been the biggest strain on my sobriety, more than anything else. Like, just waking up every morning and just like, not only do you have to see the articles, but then you got to see the comments on the articles and the arguments and the discussions that break out. And it's, it's not cool. But, so I wanted to start because the NFL looks like it's on pace to, like,
we not have high hopes.
The high hopes that we're going to have a season.
Yeah, and looks like it. Fingers crossed, because to be honest, you know, if we don't have football season, I may start fucking rioting, to be honest. Like, you know, that's the one joy. College football, especially on Saturdays, and then Sundays are for the pros. And, you know, last year I was working Saturdays and Sundays, so I missed a good majority of football games. Yeah. So now that I work Monday through Friday again, I'm really looking forward to football season. Yeah. So.
There's been a lot of turnover. I don't even know who's playing on what team anymore. Like, it's gonna be crazy for me. I want to get back to the fantasy football thing. So,
dude, we need to do a league this year. Yeah. Like, let's not talk about it. Let's do it.
I got you. Okay. I'm a man of action. We on. But good friend, good buddy, Drew Brees.
Well, going back to fantasy real quick. Right. Say you have first overall pick. Who are you taking this coming year?
Oh man, that is a good one. I think I went with the receiver first. It depends on the league, like especially if we have PPR, point per reception for those who are not in
for the
know.
Ladies.
For the ladies, I'm sorry, ladies. It's going to be this kind of episode.
Ladies, if you're listening and if you love football, find me.
Hey,
let's link up.
Ross the boss.
69. No, I'm just kidding.
But, I mean, so I probably go receiver first. I'm trying to think. I don't even know who's the guy anymore. Like, man.
It's sad that Antonio Brown can't get his act together. Did you see, and I wanted to bring this up, and I appreciate you having me on. Did you see that Riviera wants to possibly bring him on in Washington?
Yeah, they talk, and did he have a session with Haskins or something?
I don't know. I think they have been working out like exclusively or down south somewhere, maybe in Florida. Perhaps I have that wrong, but they have been hanging out. I've seen a couple of Instagram videos where they're hanging out together. So there's potential there. And God, what a nice threat for a guy like Haskins to throw to. I mean, I want to see Antonio Brown get better. To be honest, he's probably doing drugs or drinking or both. I mean, he just, some of the outlandish stuff that he was doing, I kind of reminds me of me a year ago. That's like, I just wasn't of right mind. So I'm hoping that that was all it is, but you know, I'm hoping that the Redskins will give him a shot or somebody will.
I'm still trying to figure out why he had a bag of dicks. Like, really? Did you see that one where he threw the bag of dicks?
Yeah, I did. Like, he probably picked that up at like a bachelorette party or something, or I don't know. Were they gummies or something?
They were dick gummies.
I mean,
but he knew where they were. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know how
maybe he's secretly bi. Who cares?
How you have something,
yeah,
but you don't know where it is, you know?
Yeah.
And then like, after an incident happens, you're like, oh shit, man, I should have thrown a bag of dicks at her. Like,
yeah.
Now
He knew exactly where to go. Yeah. Well, who knows? There's an underlying story there, I'm sure.
All right. But segueing with the Redskins, I know AP has come out and pretty much said, like, he's kneeling.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the team is, or he's insinuating that a lot of the team is with him on that. Like, it's not going to be a solo thing. Like, they're going to be multiple guys. We've talked on the show before.
Sure.
During the height of the Kaepernick, not the height. We just had a roommate that hated him. Juice.
Shout out to AJ out there.
I think this was like during the workout thing.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about Kaepernick and kneeling. So AP says the Redskins are kneeling. Drew Brees, of course, voiced his opinion, not in response to AP, but just
the situation in general.
I think he got set up a little bit. I think, you know. They asked him the question and he wasn't ready. And
he definitely could have elaborated more or maybe thought out his response. To be honest, though, and I'm sitting across, you know, we're what, a foot away? We're not social distancing at all right now. But I mean, we're literally 2 feet from each other. And I don't have any problem saying this is like, that's his opinion. You know, he's an American. You know, he wants to stand for the flag. What he should have said is, I don't intend on kneeling. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Like, I think he could have chose his words better, you know, maybe run it by a publicist, his wife, you know, and And a lot of people at the time, I didn't see it because I kind of had blinders on, but they were like, he's tone deaf. He's tone deaf. And I was like, now that, you know, I've had time to kind of marinate on it and everything, I was like, yeah, probably not the best time to come out and just be like, basically like, I don't support anybody that kneels during the national anthem. I get where he's coming from. Bad timing. So definitely tone deaf upon further reflection. Again, his wording could a little bit, it could have been better. You know, it could have been shortened. You know, I'm not kneeling during the anthem. Next question.
Yeah. I mean, and that's cool. I like that you said that, like that, he could have just said, I'm not kneeling. Like,
yeah.
You know, like that's not my way to do or protest or show my solidarity. Maybe he, you know, could have expounded again on some other ways on, cause we know Drew Brees does things, you know, especially for, New Orleans and Louisiana. Like we know he's a, upstanding member of that community.
And that's the sad thing is that I tried to bring that. I actually lost one of my Facebook buddies, unfortunately, to it because, you know, we got into kind of a verbal exchange via Facebook and we were going back and forth. And, you know, he was like, basically like, fuck Drew Brees. He's, you know, he's no good. He's basically dead to me. He's like, I don't care about Drew Brees. He's, you know, he's no more. And I was just thinking to myself, well, the guy did step up after Hurricane Katrina. So you can't say that he doesn't care about the city and he doesn't care about the community that lives in that city.
Right.
I mean, I think he gave a considerable donation, not only his time, I think he spent time rebuilding the city as well. But I mean, that's money that he didn't necessarily have to donate. Like, I don't know. It was a tough situation. Again, he could have elaborated or just said simply, you know, I intend on standing for the anthem. Next question.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the thing that still bothers people is the idea that the protest gets hijacked. Like, I'm pretty sure, you know, with the NFL's sort of like backhanded apology, for, you know, their stance on things, like I'm pretty sure the majority of people are aware now, if they weren't, what Kaepernick or what the people that were kneeling, during the anthem were kneeling about. And, it's still upsetting for people that when it comes up as this like disrespect or this, it's all about the flag and all about the troops. And it really has nothing to do. It was never intended to be a disrespect toward the flag. It was never intended to be a disrespect toward troops. It was, here's a moment in a football game where everybody's paying attention. Everybody's looking. And in this moment, I'm going to say something.
Yeah. And or use his platform.
I'm going to use my platform. And this is what I'm saying. And I think, you know, we have the discussion, you know, about how he came up with the idea of kneeling and how it evolved from him sitting and him being told like that was disrespectful.
Right.
And kneeling. I think I saw like something on Facebook where people were like dudes kneel, dudes get down on one knee when they propose. Like
Well, I mean, going back to my playing days, we took a knee for prayer, you know, before games, after games. I mean, you can take a knee for reflection. I mean, he used his platform. He got the, you know, it's too bad that all the events post his knee have led us to now. But you know, we're here now and you know, I stand with AP. I mean, he's an American. That's his right as an American citizen. And you know, he pays his taxes, you know, let him do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, now if you go out and you only put up about 80 yards on the ground, we're going to have a problem. Like, but, you know, hopefully he'll use this as fuel and he'll have a good season. At a running back position, I feel like AP only has probably a few more years left on him.
Yeah.
I mean, his wheels are probably, he's probably wearing the tread off. So, but yeah, if he wants to go out and take a knee or anybody else, here's the big thing that I don't get. If you want to make a statement in the National Football League, if anybody else has noticed this, coming from a white guy, one of the whitest guys you'll ever run across, I don't see the sun very often, pale as fuck. Anyways, if you want to make a statement, stay the fuck at home. You know how, do you realize that you would not be able to fill probably about 90% of the NFL teams because the talent on your team is African American or black? Yeah. Stay home. They could take the hit. It's not like they'd be hurting by missing that game. Like, what would, I mean, the NFL would be struggling if those guys said, fuck it, we're staying home. Yeah. We're not doing this. That's how we protest. We're going to stay at home. You don't get to see our talent because you want to kill us in the streets or you want to kill one of our brothers in the streets. why the fuck should I go out and perform for you on Sundays? Yeah. There was a great quote. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Herman, the head coach of the UT football program, okay. He had a great quote, and I'm paraphrasing. He said something along the lines of, you know, you cheer for them on Saturdays and Sundays, but yet you don't want to give them, you know, you don't treat them like equals.
Right.
You can't have it both ways. Like, it'd be the leagues would not be able to put on games. I mean, white men can't jump.
That's, I didn't say it, people.
I'll say it. I mean, fuck, granted, I'm not 6'3", 6'4", 6'5".
Right.
But, you know, there's natural God-given talent and ability, and we take that for granted as a country. And we have for years. You know, we have no problem paying these guys millions and millions of dollars. We have no problem shoving a jersey in their face after a game and asking for an autograph. But we have a problem with them asking for just basic equality? As a white guy, I have a problem with that. Like, yeah. I can only imagine how you and the rest of the black community feel, especially right now. And it just seems to keep happening. It's like, dude, if AP wanted to, and he may never hear this, but like, I stand with AP, I'll kneel with it. I will not kneel during the national anthem.
I got you.
He has the right to do that. I support his right to do that. However, stay home. Continue to quarantine. Blame it on quarantine. If there was ever a time to say, fuck you, I'm not coming to work today, the quarantine is the best time to do that, or COVID.
I think the only issue with that for me is that like AP and I'm trying to think of other, you know, big name players.
90% of the league is probably black.
Right. But a lot of that 90% don't make the money that even AP makes. And AP's not making like top tier.
No, he's not anymore.
Running back money right. anymore. I mean, he's probably got the savings, like you said, to.
Hopefully. If he wasn't MC hammering it around town or something. He seems like a pretty smart guy. I'm sure he's got some stockpile.
A lot of those guys don't. And,
right.
And then it would put pressure on them. Like, you know, yeah, I'm rich and I'm a little bit like, I can take this hit. But this is truly like your livelihood, and you've only got set amount of years
right.
to earn what you can earn, and then you're done. And, you know, and so some of those guys that are making that 200-400K, which sounds like a lot of money, but
right.
you know, when your career is only what, like 6 or 7 years,
if that,
you know, you've got to stack that money.
Sure. I mean,
and probably figure out something to do after football. So
I could just see that
putting pressure on them.
Right. Like, and I get where you're coming from. I would just like to see somebody call one of these leagues bluff. Like LeBron James.
Yeah.
You know, if he just decided to be like, no, I'm good. It's Taco Tuesday. I'm going to stay at home. You've seen the Taco Tuesday.
I've seen the Taco Tuesday.
So if he decided on a Tuesday, no, I'm going to sit at home and eat tacos with my family and just, you know, we're going to have a movie night. You know, especially with basketball season, hopefully coming back at Disney World. You know, not only is it, you know, that would send a bigger message.
Yeah.
In my opinion, at least. I don't know. I'd like to see somebody stand up and just say, fuck it. I'm not coming to work today.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I hadn't really given that a lot of thought. Like, I definitely see, like, in the NFL, especially with those contracts not being guaranteed, you know, how for some of those guys, that may be a hit that they couldn't afford to take.
Sure. No, third string. I mean, you know, yeah, I get where you're coming from. But, I mean, and then I'm not saying the whole season. I'm just saying, like, maybe one or two games. Yeah. Like, until the league's like, fuck, we have to cancel a broadcast because both teams cannot fill a team.
Yeah.
And who, to be honest, again, this goes back to just natural God-given talent. Who would want to sit through a game on Saturday or Sunday? Not saying, we'll say Sunday because it's NFL. We're talking NFL.
Yeah.
Who's going to sit around for 3.5 hours and watch a bunch of crackers run around and try to, you know what I'm saying? Though
I'm not saying
I'm fully Caucasian. I will take the hit. I'm just saying exactly. I'm not going to sit around and watch Drew Brees throw to a tight end for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Like it's just facts. Look at it. Like, you know, and to be honest, black people have more talent and they're more entertaining to watch. Like, how many white people are in the NBA anymore these days? Nobody. I mean,
you got to get it from overseas now. You got
to
ship.
Oh yeah, and then you can't understand those guys. Like, no offense to any overseas players, but I mean, I have a hard time understanding them. It's like there's no Larry Birds anymore. Yeah. Like, Dirk, hell, Dirk was from across the pond too. He wasn't even, you know, Steve Nash, I think, was like one of the last white people that I can, you know.
They got some, what is the Miller kid?
I don't even know, man.
They got some ones up and coming.
I'll believe it when I see it kind of deals. If they bring back sports, I'll believe it when I see it.
So. Let me ask you this, because I've never, and I'll say that I've never participated in an organized sport. Like I played softball in rehab. I was a beast.
Nice. But, what position?
I think I played like third base most of the time.
Dude, you got to be ready. Like I got thrown out of an intramural softball game.
Yeah.
Like just from having, like I had had like two or three, like it was about two or three errors, but man, that ball comes off quick, even for underhand pitch. And like, I wasn't ready for a couple of them and I just got frustrated and down on me. And I went off with a bunch of like F bombs and in a row, like,
fuck!
Yeah, it was basically like that. And the ump threw me out of an intramural, like, it was through like the beer league or whatever, where you drink in the dugout or whatever and have a good time. It was still when I was still, you know, running and gunning kind of deals. But yeah, I got tossed out of an intramural softball game, but third base is a tough position to play.
Yeah, it wasn't that serious there, but like my highlight play that I like called everybody and told them about, even though they couldn't see it and it probably didn't make any sense to them. But, I think it was like the last out of the game. And somebody hit like a line drive right at third base.
Nice.
And I literally.
Did you dive?
No, for a moment, I was like, I'm going to try to make this play. And then in the next moment, it's like, oh shit, this ball is coming way faster than I thought it was. And I tried to jump out of the way. Ooh. And somehow.
My glove just,
it was a magnet.
Like, that's awesome. Bam.
And I had to like look at my glove like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I caught it.
No, that first moment, and it's a split second. As soon as it comes off the bat and you see it coming your way, there's like a, oh, fuck moment. Yeah. Like, is this going to hit me in the face? Like,
I made that play out of self-preservation. Like, it was like, you know, it's.
At least you didn't like cover up or something and like somehow make the catch. That would have still been sick, but.
Yeah, I could play it off like, yeah, I was trying to do it. But no, I've never been in like a locker room.
Yeah.
I've never been, you know, traveled with a team, ate with them, you know.
Right.
All that good stuff. So for you, having had that experience, and having had that experience on a fairly high level.
Right.
What's the locker room like now? Like how do you handle that kind of stuff?
Because
Drew said what he said.
Right.
And then you had players on that team. Yeah. Right. It was a lot of Twitter beef. I don't know what was said, like, face to face or how many conversations.
The last time I laced up a pair of pads, threw on a helmet was 2008, 2009. And it's not like this shit is new.
Yeah.
I mean, we had various issues back then. I'm trying to put my mind self, like, if I had that same locker room today, you know, I don't think it would be an issue. I never really had an issue with it. I still have who I call, I'm going to call them brothers because that's what they are. Like, there's guys in Houston across the country that I've kept in touch with via Facebook, you know, text and stuff like that, but they're brothers in arms. Like, you're going to battle. Like, it's the only place in America where you can get away with it, license assault. Like, I mean, it's legal.
Yeah.
It is the only place where assault, you know, within the stripes is legal, or within the lines, I should say. The stripes are out there calling penalties and stuff. But to be honest, it's tough because, again, I don't know what the issues were back in 08, 09. We didn't have a lot of that bullshit. Like, you're wearing the same fucking color as I am. Like, at the end of the day, we're all Spartans. We're all Sharks. We're all Longhorns. Whatever your mascot of choice is across this country, you're all wearing the same color. You're all brothers. Like, so I don't know how it would have turned out in this time frame, but we just didn't have a lot of that nonsense back then. Like, And that was the greatest thing about competitive sports and football, especially. Like, there's nothing, the camaraderie amongst teammates, especially playing a full contact sport with, you know, I didn't see color. And I know that people are be like, oh, he's just saying this, but like, that's a dude that may make a, you know, I may have to block for that guy and we get into the end zone as a team and we win the frigging game. Like, I could give a shit, you know, what color his skin is. He's wearing the same color jersey as I am. He's wearing the same helmet. We're on the same team. So I don't know. I would squash that shit real quick. you know, we always had rap music blaring in the locker room, in the weight room. You know, we had a nice mix. I mean, we had AC/DC thrown in there. We had, but I mean, it was heavy rap. I mean, that's what we lifted to. That's what we got down with. And like, we had swag, like, you know, like you got to have swag.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, nobody wants to go out there and get their ass beat. So it's like, I don't know. I would love to be a fly on the wall in the locker rooms, like coming, you know, cause I know the kids are not in school right now and they're quarantined and everything, but I'd be curious to see what a locker room looks like in today's society.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's got to be a little interesting because, you know, I don't know how big social media and stuff was back in 08, 09.
I still had a flip phone.
Okay.
Or no. Yes. 08, 09. I still had a flip phone. I'm pretty sure.
So but it's like, yeah, cause this whole thing, like this whole thing escalated.
Yeah.
Digitally before I'm sure any of them could have like a conversation.
Yeah.
Like before it could be a sit down. And there's no locker room right now. They can't all get right. together and go lift weights.
Well, there's some teams that are secretly getting together, but we don't talk about that. They're having closed Zoom meetings and everything like that, but they're finding creative ways to still kind of get together. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to be in a locker room. I mean, I miss playing. I miss those guys. I miss all of my teammates really nowadays because, you know, you hit 30 and it's like, fuck, I'm never getting, especially, and it doesn't help that I'm watching, you know, QB1 and Last Chance U on Netflix. It's like, you know, it's taking me back and it's like, man, I miss a fucking locker room some days. Because, yeah. And you know, I'd have teammates of all, you know, all colors, all different, you know, family problems. You know, we'd come up, we'd talk, we'd bullshit. You know, you're brothers at the end of the day.
Sort of like being at the house, being at Savannah. Like,
yeah.
You know, like.
No,
like,
I mean, you're.
We all
you're,
had a common.
No, you're. I consider you and Lamont brothers for life. Yeah. I mean, we've shared a roof. We've lived under a roof. We had a common goal, to keep each other sober, you know, and you know, become family, essentially. Yeah. So, Yeah, it's just a terrible, unfortunate situation. And the thing, going back to Breeze real quick, fucking send your text or like send it to Michael Thomas and being like, hey, man, like I wanted to put this out there. What do you think? Get some feedback from like your brothers in arms.
Yeah.
Because they'd probably be like, nah, Drew, not a good look. Like,
wait. I think it was one of those moments like you just get.
Did you see what was it? Jenkins?
I didn't see what
Malcolm Jenkins. Jenkins. Yeah. No. He, man, like he right after in? The fact. Yeah, he went in on him. I mean, he basically, you know, he was like, the locker room's going to be a little intense, you know, when we kind of first show up. I don't know if I think he's accepted his apology that Breeze later came out with 24 hours or 48 hours. It wasn't even 48 hours. It was 24 hours after he realized what he had done. But I mean, Michael Thomas, I think, is good with him. Alvin Kamara has said there's no beef. You know, they're brothers. There was a little bit of tone deaf going on there, but yeah, Jenkins went in on him. It was great, but he's like, wait till we get back. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it, but he's like, wait till we get back to the locker room, Drew, it's going to be a little awkward or something along those lines. Yeah. But
yeah, that's the part that, you know, I imagine, like, you know, with tensions being as high as they are right now and really, you know, for the Black community, it feels like, cause like you said, this is nothing new. Like,
yeah.
This is not breaking news. Like this feels like a conversation we've been having for forever.
Honestly, you know. Going back to yours, if that were to happen, like say I'm Drew Brees or say I had said something like that and one of my teammates, you know, comes up to me in the locker room, we'd probably get nose to nose. We get nose to nose and it'd probably go along the lines of fuck you. You know, I understand where you're coming from. I deserve that. I love you. I love you too. Hug it out and fucking go to war. Like,
if only the United States could be a locker room.
Oh, man, I'm thinking about doing this podcast thing myself. Call it Locker Talk.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I may need your help. You're more tech savvy than I am, but
I'd listen to that. I'd listen to that.
Affiliated with, you know,
I'd be a guest.
Yeah. But no, and that's the thing, you know. We didn't ever talk. I mean, granted, we did talk, you know, Donald Trump, going back to that real quick, when he was like, went grabbing by the pussy and he's like, oh, it's locker talk. And I was like, yeah, we talked about that, but we didn't say it like that. Like, there's a difference. You know, we were like, oh, that chick's got a fine ass. Like, we never implied, like, I'm going to just go up and grab that shit. Like, you know, I don't know. Weird. Different lockers, I guess.
Yeah, different locker room. I don't think he's ever been in a locker room.
No, God, no. That man has never played a competitive sport in his life. Never seen a. However, He did take a Stone Cold Stunner. He's the only active president to take a Stone Cold Stunner. He took it. It was the worst, one of the worst bumps ever. But he can say that he's taken a Stone Cold Stunner.
I saw something that was supposed to be like, I can't verify it, but it was supposed to be like Steve Austin responding to somebody who made like a racist comment. And he went in like real Steve Austin style. Like it seemed like it was like something that had been written for the show or something. I don't know if that's just like where he is. Like he's been that character for so long that that's no, where he is.
And that's the thing. Like even back in the 90s, like if I don't think there was any of that in their locker room, and that's sports entertainment. I mean, The Rock is Samoan. He's not a white guy.
Right.
I mean, and Stone Cold's had some of his best matches with The Rock. So he had no issue. I don't think he saw issues either. Like there's guys that he loves working with, and he's got a podcast himself, and he's talked about guys, you know, that he's enjoyed working with. And that's just one of them. But yeah, I don't think he ever saw color either, or color being an issue. It's like, you're going out there to do a job. Like these people paid money to come and see us, you know, don't let them down kind of deals. But I
sent you guys an article, cause, you know, for the audience that doesn't know this, me and the homies, as I named them, Ross the Boss and Apple Juice, we keep in touch, and we, you know, we sometimes, share stuff back and forth via Facebook. Juice definitely, he slowed down. Like, I sent him a message, like, I'm worried about you, bro. Cause like, I haven't gotten no, you know, borderline,
trust me, what you're not getting on Messenger or Facebook, we're getting in the house. It's fucking, like, you know, I like living with him most days. He's a good dude. He continues to try to beat me in Madden, which, by the way, real quick, I thought I'd throw that in there. We played the other day. I'm limited to only running the ball now. I cannot throw the ball. I gave him that too, because I was like, I wanted to see him try to get back into Madden because he hadn't touched the sticks in a while. So I was like, what if I only run the ball? Would you play? And he's like, yeah, I'll do that. So the other day I was up like 30-7 just running the ball on him. I ran for 3 touchdowns, 154 yards with Zeke in the first half, and he threw his controller down and rage quit.
You took the boys?
Oh, yeah. No, well, because it's become comical, and it's like I'm trying to find teams that I haven't beaten him with yet. So I went with Dallas the other day, and he was like, fuck you. And he's like, you're not doing shit. He's like, I'm not letting my team run all over me. And sure enough, it didn't work out for him. Of course, the other day I ran with Christian McCaffrey, ran all over him with him. But yeah, I mean, Juice is something else. Shout out to Juice.
But yeah, I sent you guys an article the other day about the whole like Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. And one person's take on, you know, on why white people say all lives matter. And one of the things he kept repeating in the article was kind of the idea of not seeing color, and how as noble a concept as it sounds, like that's also part of the issue. Like if you don't see, it's almost as if we need you to see color because we need you to see that the world is different.
Right.
You know, for the two of us, and it's based
purely
on that.
Right.
I hear that, like, I don't see, and I think that's necessary. And there are a lot of situations I've been in, where I guess I didn't see color, or I saw the wrong color. I have
if you're colorblind,
I have a buddy right now, that I talk to on Facebook, and we worked together not too long, but we hung out and we like, you know, listened to music and had like in-depth conversations. And he wears his head like shaved. So he's bald. So I couldn't see his hair.
Gotcha.
I just thought he was light or albino or something. And like one day on Facebook, this was like years ago, but one of these type situations springs up and he posts this post and he's like, you know, as a white man, and I didn't even hear shit else that he said in the post. I was just like, dude, you're white? Like what? How long has this been going on? Like what the fuck is going on? But to get back to locker rooms,
right? Yeah,
The Last Dance. Did you watch any of it?
I loved it. Watched every episode. Recorded every episode. Yeah, because I tried to get Juice to actually watch it. I don't know if he ever did or not. So that's why I went ahead.
He would have been like the.
Oh no, he's a big hype man. That's all he's. I'm on to Juice now. Like he'll hype shit up with you. Like he'll get excited with you. But when the crunch time, when it comes time to like start watching it and everything, and maybe it's because I didn't sit down in the living room and like, you know, I think it was him and Robert at the time when it was coming on. And, you know, I was like, hey, Last Dance is coming on. And he's like, oh, okay. And then, like, he just didn't watch it. And I was like, what the f-? And I kept telling him after every episode, I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait till next Sunday. Like, Last Dance, man. And then he'd hype it up and be like, okay, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to catch up and watch it. And never did. Like, to my knowledge, I, you know, shame on him, but his loss. So,
but, we've talked about MJ in the house, and, I've made my feelings clear on this show. I hate Michael Jordan.
So segue real quick, 2 seconds. Did you see that Marlin that he ended up snagging the other day? They were in some like fishing tournament or something. And it was like a 400. I want to reread it, or I want to make sure I have my numbers right. And I apologize if I don't. I want to say he pulled like some like 400 pound Marlin.
He's like an incredible fisherman on top of
it. Yeah. All right. And he bought like an $85 million yacht or something recently. I don't know if it was recently, but he has an $85 million yacht. I do a lot of reading in the mornings. So I get on MSN and I'll like, you know, and who knows, probably about 40% of that's actually true and accurate. But, you know, I like to feel like I'm soaking stuff in every morning and like getting new stuff that I can relay to, you know, friends and family. You know,
it's a crazy time we live in. You can't trust anything.
Yeah. Like, but, you know,
I made it like maybe 4 or 5 episodes in before I kind of lost interest. I mean, it really, cause you know, I forget how old you are.
I'm 30.
All right. So did you experience those years?
I was about 5 or 6, and thankfully I do remember the Rockets going back to back Clutch City.
Yeah. And that was during his break, right?
He was in baseball. Okay. He was in baseball those years, when we went back to back titles. And that's the reason why the Rockets won back to back titles is because Jordan was playing baseball. Okay. To which I say, you know, but fuck! Exactly. Total bullshit. Now, and if anybody wants to argue that's that whole point, you know, look at the record when Jordan played the Rockets when he was still in the league. I'm just saying, I think Houston has a slight advantage, H-Town for life. Anywho's, what was I even saying? If I remember that time. Yeah. So, I mean, I was definitely young. I was definitely little. I'm pretty sure that my dad had the finals on, in the background. And I think even my sister is a few years older than me. And I think my sister was a real basketball fan, you know, she back in the day. So we had it on in the house. I may not have been paying attention. I might have been playing with fucking Batman action figures or running around the house or playing outside. But yeah, we had it on. I mean, it was definitely a part of our household. I mean, it's too bad that I didn't like sit down and like watch the guy, you know, work. Yeah. Cause I mean,
I remember those years, vividly, because it got to a point where it took, here's one of the reasons why I hate Michael Jordan, not the reason, but it's up there. Like it almost took the enjoyment of watching basketball away. Cause when the season started, you already knew how it was going to end. Like that's how it felt for a certain period. Like,
right.
Like there was no point. I miss the pageantry of the final, like the finals that we have today versus the finals, like back then.
So I didn't mean to cut you off, but like the more recent finals where it was between Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and the Warriors, between them and whatever team LeBron James was on. It was probably Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cause Cleveland was in it back to back years, I think, or they made a great run.
They may have even done
it. Was several series where it was, I think it was like 3 years straight that it was Warriors versus LeBron.
Yeah.
And to me, at this age, I was like, holy shit, you know, these are the guys at the pinnacle of their sport, you know, like this is good stuff. But after about the second one, I started to kind of feel like, oh shit, you know, like
same story.
I'm going to watch my Rockets end in heartbreak and I'm going to watch the Warriors go on to probably win this son of a bitch again. And sure enough, I think they won 3 straight. So,
I mean, it wasn't a fun time as a basketball fan. I was a Sonic fan and I got to witness, you know,
Gary Payton.
Yeah, Payton and Kevin. Dude, I got to witness
the glove.
I got to witness them make it all the way to the mountaintop.
Did you watch the episode of The Last Dance where they were talking about
Gary Payton? I watched the clip of Jordan like dismissing the defense that Gary Payton played on him, like pretty much saying that he wasn't a problem, like whatever, you know. And it just adds to the hate because you just, I don't know. But to what I was trying to get to was like, again, locker room scenarios.
Sure.
In the episodes I did watch, they went in a little bit about who he was as a teammate and who he was, kind of in the locker room. And, I think that was more the part that he was worried about people like seeing and like they're going to, you know, people are going to think I'm an asshole.
Well, speaking of which, Horace Grant came out after the whole documentary aired and was like, this is basically along the lines of this is complete bullshit. Like, he basically made his own documentary about himself, or he made the documentary that was supposed to be about the team about himself.
Him. Yeah.
So, and then of course, you know, I think Jordan's come back and subsequently been like, no, that's not how it was. You know, Horace was just bitter. He ended up going to the Magic and they ended up knocking the Magic out. But Horace came out like and was adamant, like right after the thing. It was just like, that's probably about like 60-40, you know, accurate.
Horace is upset. Scotty, I hear, is very upset about the documentary.
I haven't seen what Scotty has said, but, you know, at this point, you know, they got 6 rings out of it. You know,
they did.
I think they're set for life. I don't think they're hurting financially. So,
but I think it exposed Jordan as and this has been my problem with Michael Jordan. Like not the basketball player,
right?
Like in my mind, point blank period, no discussion. And he even said he doesn't like to be referred to as the greatest because he never got to play against Wilt and you know, and some of the other greats.
He had a list. That's what we wanted to
could really measure him
right
versus those people. But I consider him as the greatest basketball player, at least I've ever seen.
Of course.
Play the game. And I put that above LeBron and even Kobe. Like to me,
LeBron doesn't have the rings yet.
But Michael Jordan's game.
Different time period.
LeBron, a lot of times to me, just like, yeah, if you 6, whatever.
6'8", 268.
260, and you get a full head of steam. Yeah. What can anybody do? LeBron reminds me of my feelings towards Shaq. Like, I felt like when Shaq entered the league, you can call him a great player, but at his size, his height, if he gets if he gets his elbows parallel with his shoulders, there's, What can you do?
Like, yeah, he was a very physical player too. So it's like,
yeah, well, Michael had a very like very finesse game, very almost intellectual game. Like you could see him outthinking you. And you weren't. He can tell you where I'm gonna go. He could tell you where he's gonna go.
I think in the documentary, if you didn't see all the episodes, he would literally tell people, or he'd be trash talking or something, and he's like, "This is what I'm gonna do to you," and then he did it. It's like
there was the one game where I think. He was counting down. Like he told the guy he was going to score like 45 or something. And he started the game like 43. 41.
That shit gets to you. That's a mental game. Like there's statistics on it, but I don't know what percentage of it's mental, but like, and going back to football real quick. I mean, when you're in the bottom of a pile, not to mention you're getting probably sucker punched or your eyes are getting gouged out or somebody's, you know, trying to fuck with you or twist nuts or something. It happens. It's a real thing, dude. It sucks to be in the bottom of a pile. But the trash talk, though, that's mental. Because once you're in somebody's head, you take them out of their game, and it's bad news. So,
but yeah, and it exposed him as what I thought he was. Just like he seemed to be a
the
person
greatest
that was
of all time,
greatest basketball player of all time, but one of.
Is it sad that like
I don't want to call him the like I feel bad if I call him the worst human being ever, but he's up there on my list of like. Fucked up individual.
He's capitalizing on his platform.
I feel like he was a win at all costs and that really didn't.
Oh, so I'm guessing the footage from practice. The practices were the best footage too.
Like, he didn't care what.
He'd be like, get your ass off up. Like he'd be yelling at people.
I think there are careers. There are probably players that would have been greats had they not played with Jordan. Like Jordan, like just destroyed them mentally. And maybe you could say if you can be destroyed mentally, then you deserve to be destroyed. And I think that was his attitude. Like if you can't take it, then you deserve.
Did you see the one where Steve Kerr like punched him in practice or whatever?
Yeah, and then that was one of the few times Jordan called and apologized. That was pretty cool.
Steve Kerr was like, I punched him, but I'm pretty sure I earned his respect.
But the whole thing, like was it in the documentary where they were saying like he denied Horace Grant food on a plane or something? Like he told the stewardesses don't feed him or something.
No, I'm sure that was probably left out.
He didn't deserve it.
There was clips in there where he was razzing teammates. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like he was a saint by any means. And like I said, going back to practice, they all said practices were some of the worst.
Yeah.
You know, and then when he was on the USA team, Like, that was some of the most intense shit. And they bought, they built him a practice facility while he was at Disney making Space Jam. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, they brought, they built him a multi-million dollar facility so he could film during the day and then also get his workouts in and shoot arounds and stuff like that. It's like, you don't do that for just anybody. So,
Brian McKnight, I don't know if you're familiar with the singer.
Oh, of course.
The crooner.
Brian McKnight. Where's he been in these last few years?
I don't know, but he's actually a fairly accomplished basketball player. He played professionally in China.
No kidding.
For a couple of years. Like, yeah, he said, you know, at the height of his career or like toward the, after things, after he had done what he wanted to do musically, like he took some time off. He got in the best shape of his life. He was like 30 plus, but he went to China.
I did not know that.
And it was pretty successful. But he tells a story about during that Space Jam time. Like the one time he was going to play Jordan, like, you know, he shows up and they're in that little facility and like Jordan was flying in guys from the NBA like to play him. And it's like he gets there and he's like, you know, he's putting on his sneakers or whatever. And Jordan's playing like these NBA guys.
Sure.
And he's talking the most shit. Like he's like, you know, that, you know, this ain't no movie set. Like, yeah, he's
dogging on Brian McKnight.
And like, he's sitting there. He hasn't even stepped in the game yet, but he's warming up to go in and he's watching him like just demolish these NBA guys and talk shit to him at the same time. And then he was just like, yeah, I took my shoes off.
That's awesome.
I was like, yeah, my knee, man. I think I tweaked my knee. I might sit this
Well, at that point, it's like, I don't even want to be a part of that. I just want to sit back and marvel in this dude's abilities. Like, I mean, shit, if somebody gave me the opportunity to go like one-on-one with Jordan, shit, I wouldn't score a point, but it would just to say I did it, you know, kind of deals.
But in this, in the time we're in now where we have athletes with a platform because of social media and athletes speaking out, I don't want to say more than ever because we always had like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's and the Muhammad Ali's and Jim Brown. We had athletes that took a stand, but there's probably more. I think now or just more that have a platform to do it. Like, you know, you can just hop on Twitter and
certainly
and say what you want to
say. Well, guys are doing it from the locker room.
Yeah. And it gets out there. During Mike's time, he was very like, no, he didn't take a stance on anything.
Right.
He wasn't going to answer questions about it. I think in the documentary, you talk about like there was a guy running for office, I think in Chicago and just was trying to like get a picture with him or something like that. And he like just flat out refused. Even his mother was like, man, just take a picture with the dude. And
he had a quote. Wasn't it something along the lines of even Republicans wear shoes or buy something like that? Yeah. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it was something along the lines of, you know, I think it was Republicans. He's like, even Republicans have to buy shoes or want to buy shoes. So it was something along those lines, but
yeah, he was very standoff. I think he was very concerned about like his image and tarnishing his image in any way by taking any stance on anything, which is again another reason why I hate Michael Jordan. But so the needle has moved for me. I don't hate Michael Jordan. I'll say I strongly dislike Michael Jordan.
That's okay because I love Michael Jordan. So
the $100 million had a lot to do with. You know, he recently donated $100 million to causes.
Yeah. Specifically like black
yeah.
Yeah, black community, black inner community city causes. Development.
And he put out a whole quote, and the quote sounded sincere, it sounded like legit. It sounded very anti what I know of Michael Jordan. It sounded like, you know, like my idea of him, and this has been from stories and his documentary and all kinds of things you hear about him, is that like, I'm good, why aren't you? You know, kind of situation. And in this quote, he seemed more like a, you know, I understand and I feel the pain and I want to do something. And $100 million is $100. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't a huge chunk for him. I mean, I don't know how much money the man has.
Who knows? But I mean, even $100 million
is $100 million.
Yeah, that's a nice little noticeable. Now, keep in mind, it's a tax write off at the end of the year when he files the taxes. So, I mean, loopholes, but
there you go.
Or incentive to give back to your community, but. You know, that's a nice noticeable, like, oh, wow, he just donated how much? Like, that'll make a difference if they, you know, if it's used in the correct, you know, or, you know, it's evenly distributed and everybody gets a piece of the pie kind of deals.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it because I think I've told you guys, like, and there's a rapper that has a video out, like an old school rapper has a video out talking about the same thing, just about, the marketing practices behind those shoes and the way they be released, in, you know, creating a demand for them and a demand that resulted in, mm-hmm. you know, loss of life and horrible things happening in some of these inner city communities. And I get it. Like, you don't run Nike or whatever, right. but your name's on the shoe.
Right.
Your name logo. Is on the shoe. Yeah. In the same way you're like, man, you know, these NFL players could just sit out. Like,
yeah,
you could. He well, had
in,
the power
in a way, and the sway kinda, at that time. In a way, he does kind of create, you know, a widespread panic every year around the time his shoes come out. I mean, I worked at a mall here in North Austin, and I know that the shoe stores now have instrumented have put in place a lottery system now. So it's basically like if your number is picked from that lottery, you are going to probably get a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just walk off the street and go buy a pair of Jordans. Now you can. I mean, the selection has obviously, you know, gotten a little bit bigger and everything like that. But some of these like epic select release or, you know, legendary, you know, that they're putting out. I mean, I got to have them. It creates that, like, if I don't have it, it's going to be gone.
And in my mind, you know, as a kid that grew up, you know, like prior to Michael Jordan becoming Michael Jordan and buying shoes and seeing like what sneakers have become since Michael Jordan, like, yeah, that didn't exist. Those type of marketing practices, those right. types of releases, the releasing a playoff shoe and yeah. the different color waves coming out, you know, in a staggered pattern. So if you bought the black ones, now you feel the pressure to go back out and spend another $200 on the blue one or the Carolina blue ones.
I'm not going to lie. We were at Finish Line not too long ago. I took Mike to get a new pair of shoes and, we went over to Finish Line and man, those baby blue and white North Carolina shoes are dope. I may try to get some of those myself.
I've never owned a pair. Probably will never own a pair. Just
I've been fortunate enough to have owned at least two pairs of Jordans in my life. Granted, it was younger and we didn't spend $200 to get them, but yeah, I was very fortunate. I had the white ones with the red bottoms.
Yeah.
They were sick. They weren't very comfortable, but they were sick.
Yeah, but yeah, so I see the 100 mil and like I said, it moved the needle, but not very much.
Yeah. Now, if Jordan came out with a shoe similar to the Adidas Ultra Boost, like comfort, built for comfort and like no old idea. Men now, like myself, you know, I'd jump on that for sure. Like extra cushion and like padding and stuff. I'm all about comfort more now.
You need like a Jordan Nurse Edition.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan like Ultra Gel.
Jordan Walker.
Yeah.
I don't know much. My sneakers now, like I do like the Cole Haans and stuff. They had a big sale, so I bought a bunch of Cole Haans.
Nice. So I may start doing the services that you suggested, like through Facebook or something, where you pay like a monthly membership to have clothes and stuff.
I'm not going to plug any of them because they don't pay me.
Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, but yeah, your name could have been said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send a check.
Yeah, exactly.
But, all right. So you still love Mike, and I'm sure you don't want to badmouth him or any of his social responsibilities.
No,
until today.
Not right now. And by the way, that documentary, I was just telling somebody earlier today, like when he dropped the first F-bomb on ESPN and it wasn't censored.
Yeah.
Like I might have been on my phone or something and checking a text or something. That first F-bomb that he dropped on ESPN that was not censored. I was like, you have my undivided attention. Like, I was like, this shit is real. Like,
the only moment that
please don't call me, please don't text me, like from 8 to 9 or yeah, from 8 to 9 and then 9 to 10. It was 2 hours each Sunday there for a while. So
the only moment that got me was, the one where he almost cried, but like he had to end the episode
or, you know, he had to kind of take a break.
He was like, yeah, I'm taking a break. Like you could tell, like,
yeah.
And it was them like digging into the kind of teammate.
Yeah.
He was and you know, how hard he was on guys. And he was kind of like explaining himself, but at the same time, you could see like the emotion was getting to him. Like it was even bothering him to like look back on
my favorite part that way. My favorite part, I think, is he had the foot injury and he was trying to come back and play minutes from the foot injury.
That was a good quote.
And they were limiting him on the minutes he could play. And he was like, Mike, if I had a pill bottle here and I had 10 pills in it, 9 of them would, you know, what was it? 9 of them would kill you. Or it was like 9 of them would make you feel better and 1 would kill you. Would you take a pill? And he's like, depends on how bad the fucking headache is. Like, that was great. I busted out laughing. And then that was all like, I was just all Jordan when he said that. And he, you know, I was just like, this man's legit.
Yeah. So. And that shows the kind of competitor. He had that kind of spirit. Like if there was a 10% chance, like he want to go with the 10%.
Yeah.
Like fuck the 90.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I still hate Matt. Strongly dislike. I got to find a better way. I loathe Michael Jordan. Is that better?
Yeah.
Is loathe worse than hate?
He bothers me.
He bothers me.
Yeah.
Makes my balls itch. Anyway. All right. So who else has reacted to this? NASCAR.
Oh, yeah.
NASCAR has now forbid the Confederate flag at their events. I'm waiting for the backlash on this one. Are you a NASCAR fan first at all?
I used to be.
Okay.
And here's what my quote on this whole, you know, take it for what it's worth. Again, Caucasian male, used to be a NASCAR fan. To be honest, they're not wanting the Confederate flag to be there to stay relevant, I feel like. I mean, who's sitting around? To be honest, I would love to see the numbers, the broadcast numbers on a NASCAR race.
Yeah. Because I get the feeling like...
Who the fuck is... I mean, again, 2, 3, 4 hours? How long? I mean, again, I haven't watched a NASCAR race in many, many years.
Yeah.
We get the idea. It's a circle. Somebody's going to win. Do a backflip off. Yeah, backflip off their fucking car. Throw the sponsors' names out there a couple hundred times. This is a way for them to stay relevant.
One of my favorite South Park episodes, by the way. We're going to go fast and turn to the left.
Yeah.
I love that episode.
I mean, and it's good that they're finally doing it. Welcome to 2020. Like, you know, I can't wait to see the first riot break out on the infield of one of these things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, really? Like, you're going to outlaw a flag? It's like, but you're letting the guy that dropped the N-word on a virtual race, I think he was later dropped. I don't know if he's still racing with anybody right now. Did you hear about, I'm assuming.
No.
Okay, so there was an actual, and this is on YouTube, you can, and this was great. They were doing virtual races due to COVID and everything, and they were having some comms problems, or he was trying to communicate with another driver. I guess they were all in a fucking Xbox Live party or something. I don't know, but it's on YouTube. It's out there. He drops the N-word, hard R on the end. Right. Like, there's some comms problems, and he goes, "Hey, blank, can you hear me?" And it's like, everybody else in the party just kind of just, you could hear a pin drop, because they're like, what the, because I can't believe you didn't hear about this. They're like, dude, you're on comms, buddy. Everybody just heard that.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, and then another driver kind of hinted at without saying it directly, you fucked up. And then all the sponsors started dropping him. I don't know if he's still able to race or if he would even want to with due to all the backlash. But again, trying to stay relevant, like, you know, I just don't see them outlawing a flag being a big deal. I would love to see a riot on the infield at like Daytona or something. You know, Billy Bob can't go out there and fly his Southern flag, his Southern pride flag. And I'll say this to you. I own a Confederate flag. It's in storage right now. That thing is going to be a collector's item before it's all said and done. I don't fly it and I don't wave it around and I don't yell Trump 2020 because I don't like Trump and don't like anything that he stands for. But at this point, I think the flag is kind of a cool design. It's unfortunate the events that occurred around the time of that flag, but like, it's not a bad looking flag. Like, as flags go,
yeah,
you know, there's, granted, again, there's hatred and there's shit that happened and there's, it's symbolic. It's going to be a symbol and it's going to be worth something someday. And to be honest, before they take it out of all the history books and all that jazz, I want to be able to tell my kids, this was a Confederate flag. This is what, you know, the South fought for, and they went against the North. It was literally people of our own, you know, United States fighting against each other.
Brothers versus brothers, right, kind of thing.
Exactly.
And I guess that's part of my problem with it is that, one, how many times does the losing side still get to wave their flag? Like, you lost, you're supposed to...
Yeah.
Like, fall back. And then two, you know, we're in a time right now where we're talking about the country needing to come together as a whole. And we want to remember this time where the country came very close to splitting in half.
Right.
Like, you know, and there were a lot of people that were just like, let them go. Like, let the South, let them secede.
I'll put it out there. If somebody's not writing a script, and maybe I need to do it for like a shitty Nicolas Cage or Steven Seagal film called Civil War II.
I'd love to see Steven Seagal. Yeah.
No, but like seriously, like somebody needs to be writing a movie about this shit that's going on because that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, if it turned into black versus white, I don't know how that goes. You know, and that's why I thought of the idea one night. I was sitting around. I was like, Civil War II. I was like, I was like, God, who all would be in that? Like, because you could do it based on the shit that's happening right now. Like,
it's crazy.
What's the numbers? What do the numbers look like?
The amount of people that are just like comfortable being open with it again. Like, yeah, you know, it's like you always, I talked about this, like, you know, growing up, my mother's like pretty militant. And, you know, she would tell us, you know, stories. She had her feelings about white people. And,
sure.
And, she considers herself prejudiced, not racist. Like, she doesn't like to be around anyone that doesn't want to be around her.
Sure.
And her experiences have taught her over time that a lot of white people don't really want to be around her. So right. She chooses not to be around them proactively. But yeah, she would be telling us this stuff, and you know, and I'd be like the rebellious kid, like, no, you know, no white person's ever done anything to me, and some of the best opportunities I've ever been given in my life, I've been given, you know, by white people. And,
sure.
But it was always like the monster in the closet that she talked about that you never saw, you weren't sure it was real.
And cautiously,
like,
aware.
Yeah. It's like, now it's like, fuck it, it's yeah. real. It's really real. Like, you know, I see him on Facebook. I see him everywhere. Luckily, I haven't run into a situation yet where I've like been out in public and had to deal with anything like that. But
I've had a couple of moments, but it's only because I'm what, 5'10", and you know, it seems like it's only been a couple of times, but it's usually, you know, what my mom's always told me, nothing good happens after midnight. It was probably on the square in San Marcos, or, you know, out on 6th Street in Austin. It's like, you know, if I saw a couple of homies coming down the street, I'm like, fuck, man, this is either going to go one or two ways. Like, you know, we're going to pass and it's going to be amicable. Nothing's going to be said, or, you know, I'll get the shit beat out of me and they may take a couple of bucks off me. I mean, it goes both ways. That's what sucks about this whole thing. It's like, you have fears.
Yeah.
I have fears. And what's unfortunate about it is that the idea is planted in your mind. Once your mind is made up, good luck.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Like, they're like, in racism and social inequality, that's great. But we didn't start planting those seeds and those ideas back, you know, when they were bringing slaves over, or bringing black folks over to be slaves. Like, and too bad we don't have the time machine, because it's like, and I'm going to throw it out there. Again, we're sitting 2 feet apart from each other. Who's to say we don't have a time machine? We don't bring blacks over here as slaves. And y'all build up Africa or other parts of the world. And the white people that stole this country, that, you know, came over here on a fucking boat themselves and stole this country. Who's to say, you know, it's like a what if game. And we don't know, because obviously that didn't happen, which is great, because diversity is, you know, I love living in a melting pot. You get different perspectives, different ideas, all that. Yeah. So, but it's like, it's, you can't play the what if game now, you know? So that's,
yeah. And that's that is the most, disheartening part about all that. That's where the outrage is coming from.
Right.
Is that, like, even today, even in 2020.
Sure.
Like, Black Lives Matter is a controversial statement, you know? And matter is like the lowest tier of acknowledgement you can ask for. I'm not asking you to say black lives are worth something. I'm just, right. I'm saying matter. And that's like, we can't get there. Like, we can mm-hmm. show this video and it feels like there's still a community of people that we have to prove, like, that shouldn't have happened.
Right.
You know, like, there's still some people out there that watch that and be like, yeah, you know, you shouldn't have been trying to pass phony $20 bills, which I think is what they're saying,
yeah,
that's, he was doing at the time, or the reason that the police were called.
Oh, well, of course, now they're looking at
his criminal past.
The right side, at least, you know, the left side is like, this is fucking bullshit. The guy killed the dude in the street,
yeah.
Which I'm 100% backing. It's the right side. I've noticed that, especially during, you know, we're coming up on re-election for that heinous individual who I don't refer to as POTUS. He's not my president. I'm throwing that out there. But with re-election possibly coming up for him, or the election in general coming up, the right wing is like, oh, well, look at George Floyd's criminal history.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Appreciate
you
that.
Don't have a past?
Right.
So I'm going to go and kill you in the street based on your past.
Right.
You know, like, what?
And I deserved it.
Yeah. Like, and I had a conversation with my dad. It's like, if I had been standing on that street, and I'm not just saying this just for the podcast or anything, I've thought about this a lot. You're standing there. True, those guys are in uniform, but they're fucking out of line. Like, what's to keep me from charging that motherfucker and tackling him, a nice form tackle, to give George Floyd a couple of extra minutes or get the oxygen back to his brain. You know, by that time, he probably would have been a vegetable because we don't know how many, you know, how long leading up to it. But you throw in the what ifs, it's like, I wouldn't have stood there and just let that happen. And everybody's filming. Everybody's got their fucking camera phones out. It would have been on film. So it's like, I'm trying to save that dude's life and I'm white. So it's like, what judge in their right mind is going to be like, yep, throw that kid in jail or throw that guy in jail for,
hey, man, like,
assaulting an officer? Like,
worst things have happened to us, man.
I mean, fuck it. You get tased, you get the shit beat out of you, but at least the guy didn't die right in front of you. How can you sit there and watch a dude get fucking killed in the street and not, you know, he's not being shot. He's literally got his knee down on the dude. And I couldn't, I don't know. Like,
yeah. But you know, to that same point, there are four officers there. There are four. There's one with his knee on his neck. There are two others holding him down and one standing there. So four people that are charged with protecting and serving the public.
Rightfully so. The one fucking guy, Ho Chi Minh or whatever the fuck his name is. You know, yeah, racism is still prevalent and it's prevalent right now. I don't know the guy's name, you know.
Nah.
Mugu Gai Pen. I don't know. I don't know the guy's name.
We followed.
To hear him fucking say in the video, he's acknowledging the crowd that's filming and he's like, don't do drugs. This is why you don't do drugs. He kept saying it, and that's like resonated in my mind. It's like, even if the guy's strung the fuck out, you're going to kill him in the street. Yeah. Like, this is a good move. Like, I just don't see how any of those officers had the mindset of the time. You know, it's not like the crowd is going crazy or anything. You don't need to be doing crowd control. Turn the fuck around and look at the dude. He's fucking white.
Yeah.
Like, you're killing the dude. Be like, hey, dude. I think we got him. Like, he's fucking handcuffed.
It's 4-on-1. He's in handcuffs on the ground. I think you got the situation under control.
I mean, and not only that, here's the worst thing about this whole thing. It's like, he resisted arrest. I've watched the body cam footage. I've watched the security cam footage. I've seen it all. I don't see him resisting anywhere. Worst case scenario, he resists arrest. You've got a fucking taser on you. Give him a quick zap. He'll probably comply after that. He's still alive at the end of the day.
End of the day, yeah.
I mean, it's just a terrible, terrible, unfortunate situation. But did you see that they, Black Lives Matter down the street leading to the White House?
Wow, yeah.
That was awesome.
Shout out to my hometown.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, DC. But yeah, I, as much as I hear like your outrage, like the thing that is causing the problem right now, the biggest piece, you know, when we're talking about what's making people angry, is that there is a large group of people who watched that video and don't see what you saw. We're still convincing people that it was wrong.
And those are the same people. Those are the same people.
Matter.
I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of those people, sadly, probably have a Confederate flag somewhere in their house or on their bumper or, you know.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's tough to vote for a guy that's funded by the NRA and the Klan. The Klan is still around. They're just not as loud as they once were. And they're not burning crosses, to my knowledge, on people's front yards. Of course, I don't live in states like Mississippi. It still may be prevalent there. But, you know, it's just the sad reality that we live in. So.
And hopefully it's changed. NASCAR isn't letting Confederate flags anymore, so. Maybe that's a sign.
You know that people are going to fucking rebel against that. They're going to bring their Confederate flag. What are they going to do? Check every vehicle? Like, you know, open up your trunk. Oh, okay. Like, they're not going to do all that. So they're going to still be on TV. They're going to sneak them in. You know, and I just hope that NASCAR sticks to their guns. Like, if you're going to outlaw it or if you, you know, you don't want that on your, you know, then
have security ready.
Yeah. Like, you got to do something. Like,
I shouldn't make a joke about it, but in my mind, I can just see, like, I don't know if you saw the, South Park episode about the baseball season where, like, is it Kyle's dad or Stan's dad is doing the whole, like, he gets in a fight, like, at every baseball game they go to. So that's what I can imagine somebody, like, at a NASCAR event and they unfurl the flag and security comes. I thought this was America.
I thought this was America. And that's another thing. And I wanted to ask you real quick. I mean, can you name a black NASCAR driver?
There was one guy, I don't know his name. I mean, just asking you as a person of color, yeah.
How many black people are watching NASCAR nowadays?
I don't know how many people are watching NASCAR.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is their way to try to stay relevant.
Cause this is like height of your season, right? It's the summertime kind of sport.
Well, and that's the thing with all the sports being like, you know, delayed or pushed back. You know, it's like we're, you know, they had the MLB draft last night. We should already be well into Major League Baseball season. We should have already been like, we should be deep, balls deep in basketball playoff season right now, okay, leading into the finals. And then football is getting ready to ramp back up. So everything, you know, NASCAR is not relevant. I'm just sorry. Sorry to any NASCAR fans out there. You can send your hate mail to, you know, an address listed at a later date. But, you know, I just, there's just not any really good NASCAR drivers anymore that you want to root for. The Dale Earnhardts, Dale Earnhardt Juniors, the Jeff Gordons.
Yeah.
Granted, I just named a bunch of white guys because I, you know, I don't know of any drivers of color. Like you know, that's the first thing. NASCAR, you want to diversify NASCAR. Don't get rid of a flag that sits out in your infield. Maybe get some more black drivers on the circuit. Just an idea. I mean,
it's a gesture. I mean, you know, I think that what the Marines are doing it, I think, one other service has already said that they're, you know, they're prohibiting the Confederate flag on right, bases. You can't have it in the dormitories and stuff like that.
I talked to one of our officers this morning. You know, he said this is nothing new. You know, he was a member of the Navy, and they wouldn't let you on base with that shit. Like, if you had a bumper sticker, you had to scrape it off before you came on base. Like, so he's like, this is nothing new.
Yeah.
So it's just sad that the rest of the country is just finally catching up to it. Now, I wanted to ask you, I didn't know how many more points you had. What do you think about all these statues? They're getting, you know, graffitied, you know, vandalized and or removed. I mean, what are your thoughts on those?
Man, just to be frank, like, I'm good with it. Like, if I could be out there helping them do it, I would. But, I understand the argument about the historical significance. But again, like I said, like, when we did, you know, what we did, you know, over in the Middle East, like, they tore statues down. They took the man's face off the money. Like, you do, like, erase regimes from the culture, especially if you think those regimes are tied to wrongs against the people or evils, you know, if you want to use that word. And it's like, we have this situation where we know what a lot of the Civil War has been tied to, and a lot of what that regime or what the South represented at that time is tied to. And the South lost. But for some reason, we want to hold on to that as for its historical significance. But if you look at other countries where, like, there's a coup or you know, a force that was bad is removed, it gets removed. Like, there's jokes. I've never been to Germany. I don't know, like, how serious it is, if it's real or not. But you watch, like, TV shows about stuff, and it's like, you go to Germany, we don't talk about those years. Like, you know, like, you don't bring that shit up. Like,
right.
It's like, but here in America, it's like, oh, no, nah, yeah, let's pull out the flag and let's have this statue of a general and stuff, like, because it's historical significance. Like, no, it carries a little bit more weight than that, and you lost. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I was just curious. I know that that's going on.
Participation trophies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a valid point. I mean, it's sad because, you know, you can't erase history. Yeah. You can't erase history. Like, and you know, it's just an unfortunate situation because, you know, what are you going to do? Start changing textbooks? You know?
Now, you don't pretend like it didn't happen.
That's what I kind of feel like we're transitioning into.
It feels like,
which I'm kind of fearful for, because I love history. That was one of my favorite subjects back in school.
I feel like there's a difference between remembering and celebrating. You know, right. Like, no, we don't ever need to forget what happened. Yeah. You know? And I think a lot of times in this country, we do forget. Like, when this situation with George Floyd happens, it's like there's a large portion of America that has to be reminded that what happened in 2020 didn't happen isolated in 2020. There is a long history of this that has happened. So we definitely need to remember these things just so that, you know, when they rear their heads again, because history tends to repeat itself, we can recognize it.
Right.
But I don't know that we need to celebrate it as a, you know, it's one of those things that is why people get upset when they hear Make America Great Again. Like, oh, what time period are you talking about? You know, right. where are you trying to get back to? Because, you know, it has never really been that great for certain people, for Black folk. I don't want to tiptoe around it. Like, it's never been. We're still trying to get to matters.
Yeah. Like, and that's the sad thing. I'm with you there. Like, I saw a guy in his 80s and he was, you know, gray haired the whole thing. And he was like, you know, I don't have much more time, you know, and it's not going to happen in my lifetime. And I waited my whole life to see it, you know. So it's not like I can wake up one morning and we can swap skin colors for the day. Like, yeah. I'll never get to experience what you go through. And you'll never get to experience what I may go through.
Right.
It's just, you know, Morgan Freeman said it best. And there's a quote out there for you people. Morgan Freeman is the best ever. So
finally I had the Morgan Freeman voice.
But
yeah. All right. So before we get out of here real quick, NBA's, we're going to do it's seeming like we're going to do the Disney World NBA playoff experiment. You still rolling with the Rockets the rest of the way?
I want to see them do well. I think obviously the chemistry between Russ and Harden is definitely there. My concern is that we traded away our big man, Clint Capella. I don't really know if we have a big man to dominate the boards. Like, true, Russ can go up and get rebounds. Harden can get up and go get rebounds. But, like, you need a dominant big man down in the paint to throw down to. Like,
and you guys are probably going to have to go through L.A. at some point.
Yeah.
You got Davis and
yeah,
whatever that washed up dude's name is.
Yeah, LeBron James. No.
Now, what's they got Dwight Howard's down there, too, right?
Yeah. Dwight might actually, if Dwight can keep his mouth shut.
He might get a ring.
Yeah, he might get a ring. And apparently there's some great team chemistry going on from what I've heard and what I've read. I mean, LA's got it and they're ready to go. And, you know, maybe LeBron will get one for Los Angeles. And especially after Kobe passing, you know, at the beginning of this year, that everybody, you know, it's crazy to think how much 2020 has been through.
You forget that Kobe's gone.
Like, no. I've got all the Instagram. I'm following like several basketball things on Instagram. And then like, I'll see something on Facebook, like when his daughter's birthday, I think his daughter just would have celebrated a birthday. So that was tough to see that. But yeah, I mean, the Lakers are going to be tough to beat. The West is definitely, I think, taking it this year. I don't know which team exactly. I can't pinpoint it. Of course, I'm going to be biased and say Rockets. But again, I think their problem comes down to, you know, not having a big man. And then the other day I was reading that Mike D'Antoni may not even be on the bench due to his age.
Oh,
like,
shit.
They're concerned about, you know, the coronavirus numbers, you know, going back up, which is still a real thing, people. Like, yeah. You know, it shouldn't be named Cotton Eye Joe. Where did it come from? Where did it go? It's definitely still here. The numbers are going up. You know,
yeah. So, I think I heard we had a 42% increase in Texas. So,
well, and it's unfortunate, and you know, it's gonna happen. So, you know, we're not out of the woods just yet, despite what Donald Trump's trying to put out there. There's no celebrating yet. You know.
All right, last but not least, trying to get back into this dating game thing. I've been on the Facebook dating app, and so far I've just been like collecting matches, like, you know. Like, I like pictures and then they like me back or whatever. And then there's a match. I have not taken that first step to actually speaking to someone.
Oh, wow. You haven't even sent a message?
I haven't even sent a message. And actually,
shame on you, dude.
A woman sent me a message like 2 weeks ago. Just GM, good morning. Freaked me out.
How you doing? What you have for breakfast? So fuck off. Oh, yeah. Get the hell out of here.
I haven't even been able to respond. So, man, give me some 2020 dating tips.
So, first and foremost, I'm glad you're not on Bumble, correct?
No. I've only done the Facebook dating.
Okay. So, stick to one. Okay. I'm not going to lie, ladies. I'm working all three right now. So, that's Ross, R-O-S-S. I'm 30. I live in the Austin area. I'm the palest white guy you'll ever see. I don't like outdoor activities because I don't like melanoma. But, you know, I'd be willing to make the exception. No. Definitely just work the one for now. Kind of put you're kind of getting back into the swing of things and trying to feel comfortable with the idea, I think. And it's kind of like putting your toe back in the water. So, not to mention, you know, you have a daughter, which, by the way, I saw the picture behind you. So, I hope she's doing well. I hope she's enjoying the quarantine, you know, schoolwork at home. And
she's got her own little mask.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. But no, take it slow. Definitely try to definitely got to work on that response game, though. Yeah. Like, and don't work like multiple chicks at the same time, because then you're juggling. Yeah. Like, you know, just maybe, you know, you match with one, maybe let 24 hours go by, or, you know, if you're like me, you're just jumping at it immediately, like, hey, good morning. And then they fucking never say anything. And you're like, did I say good morning incorrectly? Like, I was just trying. And then you put like the sun sign emoji too. And
see, I don't know how to do emojis back. And stuff like.
No. So it's like, I usually, the typically like good morning, smiley face, you know, the sun with the sunshine with a smiley face on it. And no response. I get ghosted. And it's like, why the fuck did we match? Like, you know, who knows? But I would just say work the one that you got for now and kind of ease into it. Maybe, you know, don't talk about your whole life history just yet. Maybe respond to that good morning, you know, and be like, not too bad. Just got up, you know, getting ready to make breakfast. What are you doing? Like, you know, you're not dumb. You've done this before. You were successful at it for however many years. So, you know, it's just. It's shaking off the rust. Yeah, shake off the rust.
Gotta take that first hit, you know.
Yeah, you know, maybe you send a good morning back to somebody, or maybe you initiate and you don't get anything back, and they're like, all right, well, I got, you know, kind of punched in the mouth, but you know, the next one will be different. So, definitely don't work multiple angles, because like I said, you run into the problem of trying to juggle, and for me at least, I don't. It's not good. Nah, so
not a good juggler.
No,
I don't have this. Nah. I don't have the hand-eye coordination for that kind of stuff. But yeah. Yeah. So that wonderful young lady who wished me a good morning 2 weeks ago. I'm a dick. I'm a apologize. I apologize. I'm shy, ladies. I'm sensitive. I'm, you know.
Yeah.
I'm hurt.
You want to be the little spoon sometimes. Dude. It's fine. I get it. I like being the little spoon every once in a while, even though I'm huge, like 260. Is it 260 now? No, 245, I think. I'm a big old boy, lady, so I can play the bear role, or I can play the little spoon. So
yeah, ladies, you gotta get your game plan ready now for the colder months.
Yeah.
You can't like try to reach out once it's already October.
Yeah.
You gotta get in now.
Get your built in blanket now.
Nah, there you go. There you go. All right. But no, man, it's been great having you on the show, dude, again.
Thanks for having me as always.
Good conversation. You're very candid, very I appreciate your honesty.
It seemed like I was a lot more comfortable here in your new setup and without AJ, shout out to Juice, the fucking monopolizing the conversation, it seemed like.
Yeah. Juice kind of takes over from time to time.
So.
But yeah, we'll definitely have to have you back again.
I'll update you on any of my
successes in the
We'll come up with like a 12 steps for the dating game, yeah. You know.
I got to get there. It'll take time.
Yeah, just respond, you know, a little response, you know, because then you just look like a dick, you know, if she sends you good morning, especially with the smiley face, son.
There was no smiley face. It wasn't even good morning. It was just GM.
The hell does that? I mean,
I'm assuming that.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't know all these like shortened.
I don't either.
Abbreviated. It's like it takes you 2 seconds more to write out good morning. Like, are we that lazy that we? GM.
So maybe I'm not the dick lady. You're not. I'm just kidding.
it's a 50-50, you know. 50-50. Okay. We're both at fault.
But yeah. Sorry for not responding. All right. Anything else you want to share with the? Are you still doing the streaming?
I was actually gonna mention that real quick. I've made a motion the last two house meetings to run a hard line from the master bedroom to my bedroom because I'm having connectivity issues. The camera works fine. Granted, I mean, I sit in that chair right by my bed and, you know, I'll try to zoom it in as much as I can. The camera works. I'm still very grateful for the camera, by the way, but it'll be pixelated every once in a while. And then I'll notice like while I'm streaming, the camera will go on and then off, or it'll go off and then come back on and it's breaking up that like, and I think that's a connectivity issue, I would think, right?
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like,
I mean, cause you know, if I'm not playing like a powerhouse game, like a Call of Duty or a Madden that requires like, you know, the top of the line connectivity, like if I'm playing Pac-Man and I've got my camera on, no problems. So I don't know. I'm definitely going to try to get the hard line though, because I think that would definitely help. But yeah, no, the streaming's going well. I'm going to plug it if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
www.mixer.com/RossTheBoss50, RossTheBoss50. It's all one word, no spaces, no underscores. And I'll be more than happy to give you a plug next time I stream. I haven't streamed in the last week or so. I streamed on Pac-Man's 40th birthday.
Okay.
And that was probably one of the last times that I streamed. So I need to get back into it. And like I said, the connectivity though kind of is a bummer when, you know, people aren't able to see my reactions and me wig out, you know, while I'm playing video games. I do have my rage moments still.
Were you ever able to get juice on one?
You know, until I get the connectivity issue addressed, I haven't had him on. It seemed to work better when I was in my old room with Colton. Like, we didn't have any issues, it seemed like, and those were good streams. But yeah, I think it was just because I was closer to the router and the Wi-Fi worked a little bit better. But for some reason, being, you know, 10, 15 feet down the hall from the router, it's just like, so.
Yeah, I think there were always issues off in that little corner.
Yeah.
But
thankfully, I get enough internet and I get enough juice to work my multiple dating apps and pornography late at night. So
the benefits of having your own room.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. But so yeah, you know, I normally end these with a rock out. I didn't ask you for any music specifically. I never got to that. So the song I played for the intro was a song called Black Savage by Royce da 5'9", which the NFL included in their like songs of the season thing. I think this was part of their partnership with Jay-Z and all that kind of stuff. And so yeah, I was gonna segue that in the like their bullshit apology that they gave and how they never said Kaepernick or anything like that. And then like they have this song that they've included as the song of the season. And
real quick on Kaepernick before we wrap up, there's a lot of the Kaepernick talk has been picking up and heating up. Do you think he gets signed before the year?
I hope he does. I hope somebody offers him and he turns it down.
Okay.
I think, man, I'm trying to think of who it was that said it.
Seahawks.
Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson, tweeted the other day. He was like, he's already the face of the NFL. He doesn't need to play again.
I mean, he fell on the sword and he's the sacrificial lamb. I mean, if there ever was to be a sacrificial lamb, unfortunately, I think it's him. But if he took a knee for a cause and he is unfortunately ostracized from the league, then he did it. He did
especially what he needed to do. With them, because the owners haven't said anything. And Roger Goodell, you know, he found a way not to mention his name specifically.
The thing I started thinking about was like, when did he actually take when was the last time he took a snap in an actual game?
Oh yeah, it's been.
He
would have to come back as a backup.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it would be too much pressure. It's like, if he came back and he didn't just somehow win over a starting position and light the NFL on fire,
right?
There would be somebody would use it as a way to tarnish the whole discussion.
Sure.
At this point,
his message his message is louder and he got his point across and then, you know, we heard him basically by him doing what he did.
Yeah.
So
it's a shame it took, you know, it happening again in 3 years several instances happening again. But Black Savage. Hold on. Madagascar. I don't believe in your white Jesus and Last Supper. I just wanted to play that one part.
There you go.
Like the NFL puts that in their songs of the season. But they can't say Cap's name. Anyway, but I did pick a good song for us to rock out to on the way out. I think this is a song for everybody, every sports fan has sung this song at some point in their sports watching career. We all know the words, doesn't matter what color you are. You have sung this song probably right next to somebody of a different creed or color. Even the LGBTQ community can get with us on this. I think this is a unifying moment for us. And feel free to sing along, Ross. I need to talk. I got to talk over the music or I could get like copyright shit.
I got you.
All right. So here we go. Let's rock out. I got to be safe. Be the light. Thank you for listening. What is TWS Podcast? Let's rock out.
We will rock you.
What?
It's only 30 seconds, people. Don't get excited. I had to get the guitar riff, though.
No, for sure. Once again, thanks for having me on the podcast. It was definitely fun to be here. And, you know, I look forward to the next one that we're able to do.
Appreciate you, bro.